How did Samuel L. Jackson's Star Wars character die? He went out the window. Welcome to Weekly News Desk for the week of May 20th, 2017. I am Simon Etwell, and as always, I am joined by...
Andrew Doop.
There you go, I fixed it. Now the joke only has one space in between character, the word's character and die as opposed to two spaces.
Oh.
Which is weird.
Yeah, I had my cursor there to fix it, and then I forgot. Immediately got distracted.
Well, that's not hard, probably because you figured out the joke.
I did, yeah.
you read the setup and was like,
Through the window. That's a good joke.
Yeah, once you fix the setup to not use Mace Windu's name in the setup.
Yeah. Silly.
That's 2 weeks where I've had to change the setup for the joke so they don't have the punchline in the setup.
You mean we don't make our own
people
jokes?
People don't know how to write jokes. I mean, I edit them, as you can see. I find a joke and I go, that's pretty good if you change this and this. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm very much not writing.
Send us your jokes, we'll workshop them.
77 jokes? Is that what number we're on? 78. Yeah, I've definitely not written 79, because this would be 79. I have 78 on my file.
79.
So, this would be 79. I have definitely not made up 79 jokes myself. And that's a fact. Because I'm not that funny. I mean, if you've heard some of these jokes, they're also not that funny.
Some of them are pretty funny. But that might just be me.
That's true. This podcast has bad taste in comedy, so...
Or great taste.
Well...
Depending on how bad your taste is.
Yeah. Well, they listen, so that's good. I don't know what that says about their taste.
Oh, it's something.
All right. Let's move into news before I insult our listenership more. So let's start with, as we always do, with movies. A couple quick things, really. Starting with Venom's Bane. As in the... Venom movie that Sony's going to come out with what, in 2 years?
Yeah.
They have officially cast Tom Hardy as Venom.
Yeah.
And he played Bane in, Dark Knight Rises.
Yep.
So, Venom's Bane. That's pretty much it. They're in talks. Well, he's Eddie Brock Venom at that, too. They're, last I saw, in final talks to get Ruben Fleischer... Perhaps is how you pronounce that last name, to direct it, but that has not been officially announced as completed yet. That guy directed Zombieland and Gangster Squad. Zombieland. And other movies that I've never heard of.
I don't understand this.
Understand what?
This whole...
That Venom movie is existing?
Yeah. Because they've confirmed that, at least as of now, is not tied in with the Marvel Spider-Man at all. And... I don't get, like, what Eddie Brock has other than his obsession
with Spider-Man.
So are they just going to, like, just name drop him the whole time and he's going to do his own thing, but this whole time he's like, that goddamn Spider-Man.
Maybe.
And then just, like, kind of, like, allude to the fact that there's a Spider-Man. And then just, like, work Spider-Man in that way.
Maybe. I mean, admittedly, this movie was supposed to come out with, like, as a sequel to the original Spider-Man trilogy.
Yeah.
Well, not original, but the Topher Grace ones. And then they go, then it had problems there, and so they were going to turn it into the Amazing Spider-Man, I think, and then they had problems there. So it could be that. They could do Carnage.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Would be.
I saw one post on Reddit about this. Saying that they should cast Jackie O'Haley as Carnage, and I'm like, yes.
Who's that?
That is the guy who played Rorschach. He was also in Human Target.
Oh, he's boy. Fantastic. Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy,
he
yeah.
He is Carnage. I'm like, yes.
Cassidy.
Yeah, Cassidy something. Yeah. That would be a great Carnage if they ever do Carnage. Jackie O'Haley is a fantastic actor, and he would be great as...
Cletus Cassidy.
Cletus Cassidy, right.
Yeah, man, that is a great cast.
That would be amazing.
And that would be good, because that's a good, use of Venom is the two of them.
Venom Carnage, yeah.
Venom Carnage, because they're... Carnage is pointedly more evil, and Venom...
Venom is evil, and then there's Carnage.
Yeah. Like, Venom is sometimes an anti-hero.
More recently, yeah.
He's just become more anti-hero as he went on. But yeah, like, originally, he's way more villain. Mm-hmm. And then just the fact that Carnage came from Venom... I think that's pretty much the only thing they could do with a Spider-Man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with this, but...
I don't know.
I like Venom, and I like Tom Hardy, so...
I like Venom a lot. He's one of my favorite Marvels. And I don't know what they can do with it. Really, other than Carnage, yeah, like...
Yep, I know. It's funny. IMDb, I'm on the IMDb page for Venom. Which only has Tom Hardy, obviously. And more movies like this, Venom, like completely unrelated movies, but they're also named Venom.
Yeah.
Or Carnage. There's one that's completely unrelated that's named Carnage. It's really funny. Sorry. Stop being distracted. So that's cool. We'll talk more about that, I guess, when we get more news.
Yep. It could be good.
Hopefully it's good.
I'm not holding my breath, though.
No, I want it to be good somehow.
They have to earn this from me. I've been burned too many times by them.
Yeah. Like, you know, anything past Spider-Man?
The first time they tried Venom.
In Spider-Man? Yeah. The black suit Spider-Man? And then, who was that? Was that... Who did have the suit then? Because that wasn't, like, the Venom. He was the black suit Spider-Man, but then didn't somebody else in that series have...
Yes, there was a Venom.
Yeah, who was it? Who was the actor? Or the character?
It was Brock. But
was it Eddie Brock? Remember, it was just a really weird...
Who played him?
A weird Eddie Brock then. Spider-Man. Was that Spider-Man 3?
3.
Yeah, the one with the black suit Spider-Man on the cover. Oh, it was Topher Grace. Topher Grace was Eddie Brock.
Yeah, okay.
So I think I said Topher Grace instead of Tobey Maguire when I mentioned earlier, because their names are too similar.
But I think he was still attached to the Venom thing earlier. Probably,
but I meant when I was talking about the original Spider-Man trilogy, I said Topher Grace once, and I meant Tobey Maguire instead. Whatever.
Stupid.
Yeah, he is Eddie Brock, which is a weird Eddie Brock.
Yeah.
But I mean... Spider-Man 3 had lots of problems, like having New Goblin and Sandman, Hobgoblin, technically, and Sandman in it, as well as the Venom. It's like, let's just throw every Spider-Man villain that is big, well, except for and then also Sandman, all in one movie. Okay, let's move on to this trailer. I don't know if you watched it, Andrew.
Trailer.
But you should have. Because it's kind of awesome.
I don't know if I even heard of this.
I hadn't, because it is a Japanese movie, but this is the English, quote, English language trailer, but it is subtitled. English subtitles. And it's called Blade of the Immortal. Not the Blade of the Immortal, like I typed into IMDb here. So Blade of the Immortal, and it is based on... A manga or anime? I'm not sure which.
Mangame.
But it is about a immortal samurai who helps some girl avenge her family. If I remember this trailer that I watched once. It's very fighty, very bad, very bloody. And it will be the 100th film directed by Takashi Miike, which is why I bothered putting this in the news. Takashi Miike is fantastic for really good battle movies. That is a name you should recognize, but I'm sure you don't, Andrew.
I don't recognize names.
Exactly, that's why I said should, but don't. He did, he does a lot of Japanese movies, samurai-type action movies.
This movie looks rad, though.
No, the movie looks great. He did 13 Assassins. that released here.
Yeah.
I'm going through his IMDb trying to look at things that actually released to a wide audience in the West. Bang Bang Love. That's one. He did an episode of Ultraman Max. Or maybe he did all of Ultraman Max, I'm not sure.
Wow, this trailer really picks up in the second or the third
where it gets, quarter. Where it gets all fight, all third. Blood.
Yeah, like dismemberment and blood and these crazy weapons, man.
But welcome to Takashi Miike, man.
Ah, it's weird because the first half is all like, it's pretty tame and just regular swords and stuff, and then it just, man.
No. So if, you know, you don't mind blood and awesome weapons.
Dismemberment.
Totally watch that trailer, because Takashi Miike is a fantastic director. And, since this was picked up for a Western release by, I don't remember what company.
One of them.
Some not huge, not Universal or MGM, not a huge company. But an American company, but there's no information on dates for Western release yet. But it was picked up to be a Western release, so we'll see sort of how wide that gets. You know, if you don't mind watching the subtitle movie.
I don't mind.
Not if it has dismemberment and awesome samurai weapons.
If it's good, I don't mind. I do prefer
It'll be good action. It'll be good action. It's Takashi Miike. Just ask Tom. I'm sure he'll recognize the name.
Probably.
Next time he's over. All right. Keeping with trailers, but moving to TV, we got a first trailer for Black Lightning, the new CW show, the mid-season show that's coming out this year.
We kind of talked about this.
We mentioned, I mentioned that Chris really, I mentioned it and that he was being played by Cress Williams, who's an actor I do not recognize.
Yeah, me either.
But we didn't have a ton of news or any release date or anything like that, but this is going to be a mid-season show, so that's, what, December, January, I think, is how that works. But I don't know what that really means. Mid-season is all they say. I think they actually give a year of 2017, so probably December. Unless mid-season is the summer. Am I wrong? I don't know.
Who knows?
But anyway, it's a pretty cool trailer. Because it's basically that Black Lightning was a superhero back, you know, 15 years ago, let's say. I don't actually know how long. Probably less than that, 10 years ago. But then, you know, he has kids and a wife, and his wife convinced him, you know, you're going to get hurt. You know, we need you to take care of, you know, for your family. He needs you here, so he gave it up. Until, you know, and then he became like a principal of a high school. Until, you know, the gangs got even worse. And so he got better tech. And he went back to Vigilante. It's a really good trailer. And if you could hear it, there's some good lines in it. Like that scene at the end is a great line. It was funny.
Yeah, the guy laughed.
It's a good... it's a good trailer. It's action-packed. You know, it looks like superhero stuff. So more Arrowverse, question mark? Is that what it's called? Wait, did they do a Arsenal show? I didn't even hear, but my god. This is ridiculous. Man, that CW is going to be all DC superheroes pretty soon if this Arsenal is a real thing. And they're all... Man, anyway. Trailer's good. Totally worth it. But not as key as this next trailer.
Yeah.
Because we finally have a trailer for Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, boy.
It's only been, what, like a year or more?
It's been forever.
It's a good trailer. I don't know that it feels particularly Star Trek, but it is early, early Star Trek, so who knows.
It looks pretty Star Trek.
Even like the first, literally the first 10 seconds of the trailer.
Well, I've seen the trailer already.
Oh, okay.
This is one I've seen.
I don't know that it feels very Star Trek. I mean, her as a character is weird, but also everybody else, I guess, because she's trying to go against everybody else, so maybe that's why. Also, I don't know what the other alien guy is. He looks real creepy. That guy?
Yeah.
I don't know what he is, but he looks real creepy.
More alien.
And I do not know if those are actually supposed to be Klingons.
They are.
Or, I mean, I know they say that, but I'm just wondering if it's like, they're Klingons like Native Americans or Indians.
Oh.
And the humans are just kind of like, oh, I don't know, they look kind of like it. It's kind of what I think they're supposed to look like, because they don't look anything like Klingons, and they really shouldn't fuck that up anymore. Because the look of Klingons has always been fucked up enough in Star Trek. You really, really shouldn't fuck it up even more.
Yeah.
That's all I think. Because they're weird looking. Extra weird looking. Because this is before original series. So you go from this weird looking thing to like vaguely Asian-y with the Fu Manchu, vaguely Asian Russian with the Fu Manchu in the original series, and then to the Klingons as we know them from Worf.
It's a pretty iconic look with Worf.
Yeah. But there is a reason why they look different in from Worf on from the original series. Like, that is a thing that exists, and I don't remember what it is, but there's a thing that exists in canon. So I don't know why they do weird things, but who knows.
Do you know?
I don't know. Also, the main character is apparently half Vulcan.
Yes.
Because the asshole says you can't speak Vulcan, your tongue's too human, so that would mean, to me, half Vulcan.
Yep.
It's a good trailer. It's totally worth watching. I don't know. I don't know if I'll watch it or not, since it'll be the CBS online. Whatchamafuck it. The CBS wanna be Netflix. What is that called? There's a thing. A term for online show things. But I do not remember it.
Netcast.
The cast you love from people you trust. Because you know he's the only person in the world who calls them netcasts.
But he's been calling them netcasts
since before podcast was a term. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm aware. We've had this discussion before.
He's a real OG. Big Daddy Podcast.
That just makes me think of when they did when Twit did a video gaming podcast. They had him on as I think it was actually called LL Cool Leo, and he was he was sitting in a big comfy chair in like a robe with like some sort of alcohol and like an eye patch. He was supposed to look really weird and comfortable.
That's awesome.
It was weird. Anyway, that's enough weird inside podcast jokes.
And on to more weird.
Oh, here you go. This one's just for you, Andrew.
Yeah, I knew about this one. The Dark Crystal. Age of Resistance.
Age of Resistance, the Dark Crystal prequel.
Coming to Netflix.
Yep. It's going to be coming to Netflix. Netflix has, quote, greenlit it. And there is a teaser, but it's not really a teaser for it. It's showing, almost all of it is showing Jim Henson talking about working on the Dark Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really anything to do with the new one, which is why I didn't bother linking it. Because I don't think I linked it. No, I did not. So I think did we talk about this or did we talk about the comic?
Because it's also about a comic. Yeah, we talked about the comic.
So this was a prequel to the Dark Crystal. Oh yeah, because the comic is a sequel, and this is a prequel. Right, 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 right.
And this prequel has got to be pretty messed up, because the whole beginning story of the Dark Crystal is like genocide and just weird murder.
Weird puppet murder. So this prequel,
Skeksis taken power,
is to, it'll be after, I don't know exactly when it's going to be in, say, the timeline, because it'll be three Gelflings discover the secret behind the Skeksis' power. That's all we've got for a synopsis. And then the prequel. So, I don't really know how that would fit in to the canon timeline of the Dark Crystal.
Well, I mean, before.
And yes, but how can it be too far before?
Yeah, but it can't be. Probably. Exactly. It might be further. I don't know, it's hard to say, because, spoiler alert, the Skeksis win if this is a prequel.
Yeah, that's fair.
The Gelflings do not.
Like on Rogue One, they get the plans. Yeah. Spoiler alert, they get the Death Star plans.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, I mean, if it's a thing where the heroes just lose, or they hide this one last Gelfling away somewhere, and he, I don't know.
Who knows?
Either way, it's going to be weird.
Yep.
And the more I see this Dark Crystal stuff, the more I kind of appreciate how unnerving it is to me, and how well-designed it is, and I guess it is cool, because it's so...
Well, weird. In his trailer, and in this trailer, Jim Henson said it was one of his favorite thing that he worked on, because it was also it was the most challenging for him to do.
It is really well done. It was
high art or some shit. I don't know. I half listened.
Yeah,
I tune out when people start talking about art. Mostly, I'll be honest with you.
And in the original of the Dark Crystal, there was going to be no English.
Oh, only alien languages.
Yeah. And you just kind of had to, context clues the story.
Oh, so it would have been Caveman.
Sure.
Have you never seen Ringo Starr's movie?
No.
Caveman?
I didn't know that Ringo Starr made a movie.
Yeah, I think it was called Caveman. He was a caveman, and they did not speak English, because, it was before English existed. So they spoke caveman noise, grunt, half words sort of things, and eventually you'd be able to context and understand what they meant, sort of. I think it's called Caveman. There's a giant. Yeah, there's the giant bug. There's a giant bug at one point.
He squishes
somebody's face.
This is rad. It's
Ringo Starr's playing a caveman. It's a terrible movie. I only know of it because of the podcast FilmSec named up, which is sort of similar to MST3K in podcast form, sort of. In the fact that they watch movies that are not necessarily great, and then they talk about them.
Yep.
And sometimes they even do live commentaries, which basically is MST3K.
Oh, crap. Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid in this movie, too? I don't remember anybody who's in this movie except for Ringo Starr, because he's the star.
He's a pretty young Dennis Quaid.
Anyway, so back to Dark Crystal. It'll be directed by Louis Leterrier, and who will also executive produce with the Jim Henson Company. So... people are this big quote about how Louis Leterrier is passionate and they're excited to work with him, blah, blah, blah. So we don't know, what I want to know is we don't know if Netflix is planning on full puppets, which would be very expensive.
But I really hope so.
Or sort of computer-generated or traditional animation or some sort of crazy, let's get ILM in here and give everybody makeup, make it all live action, put some Star Wars on the Dark Crystal.
I'm really hoping for puppets, because otherwise it's just no point.
That will be the most expensive, because all those puppets are either sold off or destroyed.
Yeah.
Or decayed.
Yeah.
So they'd have to
remake. And they were really good puppets in Dark Crystal.
They'd have to remake everything, which would be very expensive, which is probably the only reason there's a talk about if they're doing puppets or not.
But because considering it's the Jim Henson Company and paired with Netflix, they've got money.
They've got money.
There is no shortage of money when you are owned by Disney.
Let's do that. So, yeah, that's another reason why you could just involve ILM. I mean, I guess ILM could make the puppets.
Yeah.
They did that because Jared was a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what was more recently a puppet.
Also, I think Disney does appreciate the puppetry.
Probably. They've been known to do a couple of puppet things. Here and there, you know?
Yeah.
Couple.
Just a couple.
So we don't have a date yet on this either, but it's, quote, coming soon. So, soon, TM.
TM, TM, TM.
All right, let's move to our one thing in games that's actual news.
Yeah, because again, there's like, you know, a new season of Overwatch shorts coming at some point. It's well underway. Thank you, Jeff Kaplan, for nothing.
VR set headset.
Yeah, from Google.
Google and Lenovo, but it's an enclosed headset.
Yeah.
It was one device quote. So I wondered, I looked at it just because I wondered if that was a backpack one. Because I know there's ones that are hooked up in backpacks, basically. And then you hook it to your face. And it hooks up to the visor.
Mm-hmm.
Visor is not the right word. Or if this is all held in the visor, because it keeps saying one device. But there's no information on that either, really. Except that it's coming and you can pre-order it or something like that. You can pre-order up to 5 per customer, so pre-orders are open for that. But that's not, there's no details, so that's not really real news either.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what we're destined to play sometime, probably in 2018.
It's definitely in 2018.
Because Destiny 2, they had, what was this, Thursday? They had a big reveal thing. They did big talked about it. They showed gameplay footage.
Yep, lots of gameplay footage, lots of trailer, lots of talk about it. Mm-hmm. Destiny 2.
From my friend who watched the trailer, he said he didn't see any reason why this required a release of a new game.
Mm.
Because it all just seemed like it could be done in an expansion. But I wondered if there was a big underlying...
There's a whole bunch of restructuring.
Underlying tech restructuring.
Which is why they had to get rid of the old guns and stuff. Your profile doesn't carry over. It only will aesthetically carry over because they had to just rework everything, which is good because the game could really use a rework if they're going to do,
I do know,
bigger things.
That you don't have to go back to orbit to launch different things now, because apparently that was a thing you had to do.
Yes, it
is. Go back to what is effectively the main menu in the game to launch a new activity.
Yeah.
No, that's dumb.
I'm really excited for Destiny because Destiny 1 was so close to being an amazing game. It plays really well.
Many smallish issues.
Yeah.
If there was just one or two.
And bigger issues too, like personality.
Oh, and story. Story that didn't exist in the game. That was a big thing.
And personality even.
That they're talking about, that their story will be in the game. As opposed to you don't have to go to their website.
Yeah. Or the codexes and stuff. But yeah, there's actual story. And so far it seems like there's actual personality instead of just these flat faced, everyone seems like a robot. Some of them even don't even have faces.
Hey, some of the personality in Destiny 2 is the robot.
Well, it's entirely that one robot.
It's a robot.
Yeah, and then,
that's not true. That's Reddick's character.
The Destiny 2, yeah, for sure has lots of personality.
Oh, you mean Destiny 1.
Destiny
1's only personality was Peter Dinklage, which was a robot. And
which was
we have no reports on if he's which have no reports on if he's back or not. Many people are like, oh, is he coming back? We hope so. But I was like,
I mean, Dinklage probably isn't coming back because now that they replaced him with Uncharted guy.
Because you said Uncharted, I can only think Nathan Drake and not the voice actor's name.
One of the two big voice actors.
It is like the name everybody knows.
North? Is it North?
Nolan North, yeah. It's Nolan North.
Who's the other one?
Troy something.
Baker?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's good. I know all the first names. You get the last names. Deal.
Together, anyway, we have a full working brain.
Anyway, so yes, what I have heard about this game makes me very excited. I think I'm probably going to pick this one up, partially because it's not only going to be on console. I assume you're getting it on PC.
I am for sure getting it on PC.
Good, me too.
A la Battle.net.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if they're going to change the name back to Battle.net now.
No. So I read an article about this because people had reached out to them about this.
Yeah.
Because, as you may or may not know, Battle.net has been rebranded to Blizzard Launcher.
Blizzard Launcher. Mm-hmm. It's even officially changed now. My icon still says Battle.net under it because I haven't changed it.
Yeah.
But the little actual icon picture says Blizzard instead of Battle.
Yeah, like even... Oh, it's so stupid. I hate this. Because it's a square icon, and they fit the Blizzard logo into a square, and it is a rectangle. They don't, like,
change the
height or whatever. They just make it fill a square, and it's so dumb.
It's
Blizzard knows better than this.
It's kind of a bad icon.
Blizzard, come on.
Anyway.
You had a symbol for it. You could just use the same BattleNet symbol. We would have got it.
Yep.
I get it. I mean, even... Yeah, it's stupid. I'm not going to talk about
article.
That anywhere.
Anyway, article on them not changing the
name. They talked to the Blizzard people, and they're like, yeah, okay, that was intentional, because this is a third-party thing coming to the BattleNet... Blizzard launcher, sorry.
Yep, it's not going to happen.
Intentionally name-dropped BattleNet because people know it as BattleNet.
I think... I don't know that it was fully intentional. I mean, even... that is to say... Even if they didn't, if it wasn't intentional, Morheim still would have not name dropped BattleNet 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Because it has been that for 10 years.
It was intentional because it was, I mean, like, you'd hope so, because it was a pre-recorded scripted event.
I suppose, yeah, they could have. No, you said BattleNet again. Damn it. Okay, we start.
Yeah. That's so true. They 100%, if they cared, they would have done that. But they said, no, it is an intentional thing because it is a third party that it. BattleNet has more brand recognition
than Blizzard launcher.
Yeah,
that's fact. But it's also weird that the Blizzard launcher will now launch a non-Blizzard game.
Yeah, I mean,
it's an Activision game.
They're
so
publishing
Blizzard it. Activision.
Blizzard is publishing it.
Well,
technically,
Activision
kind
is
of
publishing it
because they're
Blizzard
the same.
Activision is publishing it. Yes,
it's the first one. They're not developed.
Developers. Yeah, so this is cool.
But it's cool, yeah, because, I mean, Blizzard has good servers going
and also,
for things.
Yes, there'll be clans in Destiny 2,
mm-hmm.
which is a thing that apparently did not exist in Destiny 1 somehow.
Yep.
So that'll higher social,
lots of room for improvement.
That'll mean better social interactions. It'll also probably mean easier time to get people for raids and stuff, because apparently that was a real... hassle in Destiny 1.
Which is why I didn't play much, because I didn't know people, and I didn't want to go meet people to do these stupid things.
So, now why we said probably in 2018 4, because we're both getting it on the PC.
Yes.
They have announced that it will be released on consoles on September 8th, 2017. So that is PlayStation and Xbox.
But PC has a to be announced.
PC is later. So we could get it December.
I mean, we could get it at the same time. They just haven't announced it.
I mean, I expect it to be later. Either like December or more likely like February of 2018 for PC, probably.
And they also have announced that the PC version has the whole Master Race rigging, where it does go up to 4K. It's not capped at 30 frames a second.
The console ones are capped at 30, apparently, because PlayStation, I think they named up, I don't know if this was officially them, but somebody, I read somewhere that the PlayStation can handle Destiny at 60.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true or not, but yes, the consoles are capped at 30.
Yeah.
I don't really care, because I don't know what that changes.
You can see it. You can see the difference.
I'm sure you could, but I don't know what it really matters. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, because playing a 60 frame per second shooter is just so nice.
I don't play a lot of shooters.
It just
so
feels
that might be
nice.
That might be why I don't really care, because I'm like, I don't shooters. I don't know.
Like Halo. Halo's at 60.
I don't want to play Halo. I own one of the Halos. I barely played it.
What's that?
It was like 4. It was for the 360. Was that 4? It was 4 for the 360.
I think there were a few on the 360, so...
It was one of the last ones on the 360. It was after...
3 was on the 360, 4 was on the 360.
Which one did... 3 was when Cortana had rampancy, right? And then you went into, like, at the end, Chief went into stasis? Or does he always go into stasis? I'm pretty sure at the beginning of the one I played...
Yeah, 3 was the wake me when you need me.
Yeah, so I must have played 4, because I'm pretty sure he woke up out of stasis on the crashing, well, not crashing, but the being destroyed
And Cortana is, like, freaking out weird.
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay.
But I have no context on how Cortana should act, because I never played 1, 2, or 3.
Well, like a normal AI instead of weird.
I don't remember. Like I said, I got off the space station, and then maybe they told me to go to the ship or something, or whatever plane I landed on. Never got there.
Okay.
So, never really finished the what is probably the... I guess technically the space station would be the tutorial, quote, mission on Halo 4. Yeah, never got very far.
Well, it's a good game series.
I had a problem with Halo 1, too, that I went and did the first mission, and I was somebody else's Xbox and I was just playing it, and then I couldn't finish the mission. Like, I finished it, and then it was supposed to go back to, like, where you warped in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I got back there and nothing happened, and I just gave up and went to some other game.
Halo 1 did have kind of a problem of, I don't know where I'm going sometimes. So I don't blame you.
Mm-hmm. But Destiny 2 won't have that problem, hopefully.
No. I mean, Destiny 1 didn't have that much of a problem with that. So I'm excited for Destiny 2.
Yes, I look forward to it. They also talked about some of the classes and such, but that's a little too inside Destiny, I think, to talk about.
Yeah.
Besides that, one of them is going to be Space Captain America, because he gets a shield that he can throw at things. I don't remember what class that was, but
there's
some sort of energy-type shield that he can throw at people, and it'll bounce off like Captain America's shield.
And they are different than Destiny 1.
Yeah, basically, from what I gather, like, everything is different from Destiny 1.
But this is a good thing.
Probably. All right. So that is all the real, you know, actual have
details on. I might just add a point on games news.
Yeah?
Justin got Dark Souls, the board game.
Mm-hmm.
And
saw that, like, last week.
We played it last night. Mm-hmm. And it was Andy, Justin, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And we started at like 10, and we went until 2 in the morning, and we beat the first mini-boss. Dark Souls is a cooperative board game with really nice miniatures, and it is amazing how well they capture the video game experience. Like, so many details of the video games, down to, like, light walls and grinding for loot and levels.
Sounds terrible.
It's literally the same. Game. You clear the rooms and counters that are randomly set up, and then you go back to the fire and you rest. And then you go back and you clear the encounters, and then you go back to the fire and rest. Then you clear the encounters.
Yeah, that sounds like a board game I don't really want to play that much.
And each time you get better and better, you get more efficient, and you learn how to play the game. And then you take on the mini-boss, which is a really cool system, too, because it's got, like, cards that you randomly draw, and that's the behavior. And it's random the first time, but then after that, it goes in the same order, so you know what patterns the boss has, and you know where to be and how to position yourself. And the game is pretty punishing.
Shocker.
We tried the, like, second level encounter before we got to the boss, and we got our asses handed to us. We hardly killed anything, and it's a really cool game. And the Dark Souls feel. I recommend it.
All I know about it, all I knew about it prior to now, was that when you opened the box,
yeah,
it
has you died.
Yeah. I knew before Justin got it and sent that snap, because I'd seen other people take pictures of it.
I didn't know until he sent that.
Okay. Now, let us move on to comics and books.
Kermit Burks.
So, first up, we got Jedis and Rebels and Droids. Oh, my. Because we have two Star Wars. Star Wars. I did that. I do that all the time. Star Wars comics announced. I'm going to start with Cassian and K2, because they're going to get basically how they met, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to Rogue One, for a Rogue One prequel comic specifically for Cassian and K2SO.
Which is exciting. I like those characters. So
that will come out in. Number one will release in August, and obviously it'll be Marvel, because it is Star Wars, and it is canon, Star Wars comics. And since they're both owned by Disney, obviously. So yeah, this is about them meeting, and probably capturing, I guess, them capturing K2 and reprogramming him, and then some more adventures. Maybe.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, we know he's a reprogrammed Imperial droid, so at one point they would have had to capture him and reprogram him.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much time they'd want to spend on that.
Yeah, you can spend a whole lot of time, I think.
You could.
And then working through his personality quirks.
Yeah. He tends to say what's on, his mind. It's a result of the reprogramming.
There's a lot of room to explore that, I think.
So, this is being called Star Wars Rogue One Cassian and K2SO Special, which is weird.
Special.
But it doesn't actually say that on this cover that I see, so I don't know why. Every article I've seen is talking about it weirdly.
I guess because it's like a one-off, maybe?
But it doesn't. It isn't, because it says also says number one.
Well, I mean, like, series.
Yeah, I mean, a mini-series.
Yeah, rather than but their usually, big series.
Usually when they have a mini-series, they give me how many issues there's going to be. This one only just says, hey, number one comes in August. So who knows? Okay. We'll see. But yes, I suppose it is probably because it is Rogue One. It's Star Wars subtitle Rogue One, subtitle K2 and Cassian. I guess.
Yeah.
Because they could do other Rogue One comics, probably, that are not technically, that's not, you know, Star Wars, you know, the main story with Luke and Dr. Aphra and or Vader, are all the main story Star Wars comics these days.
Yep.
Anyway, so, as I said, number one, Star Wars Rogue One, Cassian and K2SO. Number one arrives in stores August 9th. 2017. That's in like 2 months. 2 months and a bit. So that's cool. If you like your Cassian and K2, and if you don't, I don't know that I want to know you. Because K2 is amazing. And yes. Cassian is a very good character for the movie.
And pairs well with K2.
Yes. The two of them together are fantastic.
Yeah.
Alright. Also, do a good
buddy cop.
Also, and maybe that'd be a great buddy cop comics.
Yeah.
Anyway, also in August, Marvel is going to be releasing Star Wars Mace Windu, Jedi of the Republic. Also number one. And this is early, this will be set early on in the Clone Wars. And sort of all the different Jedi that'll be in are dealing with them, the transition from peacekeepers to generals.
Yeah. Which is a big thing. Deal
for Jedi.
Yeah. Which they don't make a big deal in the movies. Because movies are...
But they also pan over almost all of the Clone Wars. Because it starts sort of at near the end, halfway through to near the end of the second movie.
Yeah.
And then the third movie is like, hey, Clone Wars are ending now.
Yeah.
None of it happens in the movies, basically.
But they don't really, like, talk about the effects. No. Of this, and
that's why everybody should watch the Clone Wars cartoon.
Which is, yeah. It
does.
Just ignore that the prequels exist and watch the Clone Wars cartoon. Well,
you can't ignore that they exist.
Oh, yeah, because prequel memes.
Well, and also because the Clone Wars doesn't exist without the movies.
Prequel memes.
For better or for worse, you don't get Ewan McGregor's fantastic Obi-Wan.
That's true.
Just like you should watch, like, the first half, maybe less, slightly less than, of the Clone Wars movie, and then go to the series.
Oh yeah, the actual cartoon movie.
Yeah, just get to when they leave whatever the crystal planet is called. It's fine. You can shut off then. You got your introduction of Ahsoka. You're fine. That's all you get. That's all you need out of that movie. Everything else, nothing else matters.
Because you did watch that movie recently, right?
I watched half of it again recently,
and it was pretty tough, right?
It's not good. And the animation is weirder. The animation is not up to the same par as the show is. The faces are not right.
Yeah, it's so weird.
We almost have it because Erica fell asleep and I didn't want to watch the rest of it by myself. I was like, I'm not going to put myself through this movie if she's going to fall asleep.
Because I watched the movie when it came out, and then I watched it in a few sittings because I couldn't deal with it all at once. And then it's not great. The Clone Wars show came out. I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
The Clone Wars show.
So it took me a long time to watch fantastic. The show.
And it is a weird animation style, but it's fine because that's their style. But in the movie, after seeing the show, you go back to the movie. You're like, you didn't. Your style is like, it's there. It's the same style, but it's not finished.
Yeah.
In the movie, it's weird.
You do get used to it in the show. It does take a little getting used to. But that's like most cartoon. At least 3D animated for me.
Yeah, like Ruby. Like Tom, Ruby. Who doesn't listen, who should watch that show.
It took me a long time. Like, at first, I when that was weird. Watched when Ruby, I'm like, eh.
Exactly. When I first watched, I didn't first watch. I think I put it and you just, you know, like, click it on Netflix and it just shows a little bit in the background. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know that I want to watch this. Yeah. So I went off of it, but then I came back later and got used to it because it was really, that's a really jarring animation to get used to.
But it is really good.
Yes,
yeah, they do really good things with it. Just don't look at the hands, and you're good.
Yeah. Or the fact that everybody looks drunk all the time, so their noses are really red. Yeah. The noses and around the noses are really, like, and their cheeks are always a little too red and blushed.
I mean, that's a style. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
But I'm just looking at it going, everybody just looks drunk. They're all just drunk all the time. Anyway, we're back to Mace Windu comics here. It is going to be written by, I lost his name. Matt Owens. I don't know, but there's a big quote about him talking about how it's going to be set, you know, early on. Now all the Jedi are, you know, what I just said, dealing with the weird thing, and if they think this is what the Jedi should be doing, mm-hmm. and how they're dealing with their doubt about it, blah, blah.
Which, again, the Clone Wars show does really well.
And I think specifically in Mace Windu is he's leading other Jedi in early on in the Clone Wars into mm-hmm. some sort of strike thing. That's what this is more specifically about. But it's cool. So we get more Jedi, more Mace Windu, more battle droids. Roger, roger.
Roger, roger.
B1 battle droids, as they are called, as I learned from Aftermath.
Yeah.
I guess he mentions B2 or B some other number. And the I was super. Like, that must be super battle droids.
Yeah, that's the super.
The ones with no necks.
Yeah.
And wrist rockets.
Roger, roger.
Because then he also mentions droidicas as something different. And I was like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Droidicas.
Anyway, Mace Windu. Star Wars Jedi of the Republic Mace Windu, number one, is your full title, is set to arrive August 23rd, 2017. So you get K2. And Cassian in the first week, the 9th, so maybe the second week, I guess, technically. And then you can get Mace Windu and his Jedi friends the last week, give or take, on August 23rd. It's going to be a Star Wars August.
Well, it's a Star Wars a year, every year.
It's a fact.
Every month, every day.
Well.
Well, not every day.
Every month, certainly. Well, there's three comics, so you can probably do these. The main Star Wars 1 week, and then Dr. Aphra the next week, and
yep.
then... Darth Vader the next week. You're going to do 3 out of 4 weeks for most months.
Mm-hmm. Just live your life like every day is Star Wars.
You'll be better for it.
Yeah, I know I am.
All right, let's move on to Overwatch gets to hardcover. I tell you what, I took a long time to make that really bad line. It was difficult for me to find a good headline for this to write.
Mm-hmm.
But, so Dark Horse and Blizzard are teaming up to release Overwatch hardcover books. Which I knew one of, because that is on the Blizzard store. I don't think the art of Overwatch book was on the Blizzard store. Or on the launcher, I should say. I don't think it was actually on the store. Anyway. So, they're going to be releasing the art of Overwatch and the art of Overwatch Limited Edition, shocker, and Overwatch Anthology Volume 1 are the three hardcover books that they're coming out with. So, art of Overwatch is somewhat obvious. It is an art book for the Overwatch stuff, but it also have some behind-the-scenes art. Like commentary with the development teams and the never before seen art and all that stuff, so that's cool. The regular edition is 9x12, 300 pages, and $50 American. So that's what, $70 Canadian, give or take?
$65.99.
Yeah, there you go. The limited edition will also have, it'll be a clamshell box with magnetic clasps, which mm-hmm. is cool, which I think I have because back to Halo 4, I got the fancy edition of that, and that had a magnetic clasp
box. I got that right over there.
I know you do.
It's I think I have two.
Do you have two of the fancy editions?
Yeah.
So John, my brothers. John also got the fancy edition and then gave it to you later. Anyway. So it comes with the fancy clamshell box with magnetic clasps and a slipcover, which basically has like a cutout of Tracer. So you can see the hardcover of the book, but then when you slip over, they slip a slipcover over it, in the negative space it is Tracer. Right? That's the proper use of negative space, right?
Right.
Right. Got it. Tracer's space. And it is funny, because in the blurb I'm reading off of here, it is an acetate slipcover featuring one of the game's most iconic heroes, Tracer. I was like, I mean, you're not wrong. You're accurate. But that's only because they made her the most iconic. So they used her in all of the covers and art.
And promotions.
And promotions. And like, she is the most iconic.
Because she's on the cover of the game. Because
they made her the most iconic.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm... As a character, I don't... Well, I mean, she's interesting as a character in the comics, but as a player, playing the character, I hate her. I hate playing Tracer.
Me too.
Can't stand it. I was doing... Was that Thursday when we were going to play HOTS? No, it was Friday, but it was too late, and I had to wait for my update, so you guys went to sleep. I decided to play some Overwatch, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do. So I played that 1v1 random heroes. That's a little rough, but I won as Tracer. I was like, man, that means you're a bad Tracer. You should be able to just annihilate me because I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I also won as May. And I was like, man, these are two characters who I do not play because I do not like them and I want with them.
I like May.
Other person killed me as Widowmaker because she got set up first. That's pretty much 1v1 Widowmaker. Whoever gets set up first, you win.
Yeah.
Snipers, man. Anyway.
The Art of Overwatch limited edition hardcover can be bought on Amazon.ca right now for $78.60
with a Prime. Oh, Prime! I was going to say because it retails for $100 American, but that's
Which is $131 Canadian.
Hmm. That's good. I might get it then. First with Prime
and with the Art of Overwatch, not limited edition,
regular edition.
It is $39.59.
That's nice.
Down from the $65.99 it will be regularly.
That's a good deal.
That is a good deal.
Good thing. Man, Prime's worth it, especially now that Prime American Gods exists.
Yeah, especially, American Gods.
Which,
but Prime is always good for new comics.
I have to talk to you about off-air about the thing in the latest episode, because it was funny to me. Anyway.
I haven't seen the latest episode.
You haven't seen episode 3? But you've read the book, so there's not like there's any story spoilers to you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Anyway. Anyway. Overwatch Limited Edition also, as well as the clamshell box and a slipcover, it'll have two portfolios containing three prints chosen by the Overwatch team, which is interesting. So you'll get prints separate from the book, I guess, that you can, paste to your wall somewhere.
Yeah, which seemed to be announced.
Yeah. Chosen by the Overwatch team, so they're probably voting on it right now. Maybe they vote now. Prequels. All right, and Overwatch Anthology Volume 1 is a hardcover collection of the comics, the, quote, first 12 issues of Blizzard Entertainment's Overwatch comics. So, the things they release as digital comics have never released physically before, as far as I know. Guess what? Anthology.
Boom.
So, written and illustrated by a bunch of people, some of which were also devs on the game, or like Michael Chu, I know is not just a comic guy, he works directly for Blizzard. I don't know if the rest of these people, I don't know if everybody who wrote and illustrated the comics worked directly for Blizzard, or only some of them. But I know Michael Chu works directly for Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
These are all, they're very good comics. I like all of them. The only one I thought was odd was the Christmas one, because it didn't fit with the canon lore, that a lot of it was not making any sense with the canon lore they already laid down, in my mind. But we talked about this when it came out around Christmas.
Yeah. I was okay with it.
It was just weird. It didn't fit in right. But anyway, that's just me.
That's a you problem.
That's a me thinking, how does that work?
Yeah.
And how did McCree and Samba just randomly end up in the same bar?
Yeah.
Anyway. So this will be 140 pages, which seems like more pages than there were for those comics, but I mean, I guess 12 comics.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll retail for $19.99 American. I don't know if Andrew's looked that up on Amazon.ca yet.
I did, but I lost it. Because
you were looking at a Hearthstone box by the look of it.
Yeah, Hearthstone. There's an Art of Hearthstone hardcover coming in October as well.
I didn't even see that anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. But there's only one edition, and it is $52.65 Canadian on Prime pre-order. It is down from $65.50
for Hearthstone.
Yeah,
for Hearthstone Art.
The Volume 1 anthology we were just talking about is $25.99 Canadian. With Prime, you get it for $17.10.
Excellent. Because that is definitely something I'm going to pick up, because I love those. I'm a big fan of those comics. Big fan. Really big fan.
Big fan.
Big shoe. Really big shoe. So I'm definitely... And it's, as
you know, and $17.10 is a pretty good price for a hardcover.
Even $25, you know, for 140 pages hardcover is a pretty decent price.
That is an extremely decent price. For
basically a hardcover trade that is 12 issues,
yeah.
That is cheaper than you'd get for traditional comics.
Of any flavor.
Yeah. Of that size of a hardcover trade.
Even for less.
Mm-hmm. So the art books will come out October 24th. I guess around the same time as the Hearthstone art book. Which apparently is a thing that existed, but I guess it got swept under the rug compared to the Overwatch art books.
Yeah. Poor Hearthstone. It looks really nice.
The Hearthstone art is really good. I like the Hearthstone art. How they took like the WoW things that we've seen, but they even the
it's Ragnaros got its own style.
Looks different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take the things we've seen and make them their own style, which I think does really well.
It's coming out October 25th.
The day after the Overwatch.
Yeah.
The anthology comes out October 10th. The comics.
Mm-hmm. Which is earlier.
So that's cool. Yeah, which is earlier. You're right. The 10th is before the 24th and 25th.
Just good in case job. You guys aren't keeping up. I got your back.
I just like, this is clearly just a press release that they got sent and then just posted, because these are the perfect companions for any Overwatch Players collection. Pre-order your copies on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or TFAW.com. Visit DarkHorse.com for more information, pre-order links. Sorry, the last paragraph just amuses me. Also, I don't know what TFAW.com is. Do you?
I've never heard of it either.
Okay.
Also, on this Amazon rabbit trail I've gone down.
Here we go.
There is a new Nintendo 2DS. Coming out.
Yeah, I knew that. You didn't know that?
We didn't talk about it.
Oh, I did. I forgot about it. But yes, I saw that before.
It looks way better than the old Nintendo 2DS.
Yeah, but it doesn't fold.
Yeah, the old one doesn't. This one does.
This one does?
Yeah.
That's much better.
The new Nintendo 2DS.
The old 2DS doesn't fold. I was like, well, that's terrible for ever trying to take it anywhere.
Yeah. This is much better.
It also has Amiibo support and better something else.
It is also XL.
Yeah. I did see that was a thing, and then I didn't put it, you know, in notes anywhere, because I don't usually do games.
I missed this completely. I don't know. I guess this happened in their treehouse thing, but...
You're slacking.
Yeah, I am slacking.
I mean, I also happened to walk... I was at the mall yesterday, and I happened to walk into EB, because I wanted to look at their prices for 3DSs, because Best Buy never has any 3DSs ever for sale, and I wanted to look at them at EB, because I need to buy a new 3DS, so that I can have one again.
Well, you'll be happy to know that this one comes out July 28th and retails for $199.99 Canadian.
Yeah, maybe.
You're welcome. This is the superior DS.
Sure.
Because the 3DS is stupid.
But is it, though?
Yeah. Especially with this one, it's XL, it's the new, so you got the Amiibo tapping, you got the 2D, because most games don't take advantage of the 3D anyway. It's just a drain on battery.
I mean, all the new 3DSs have Amiibo as well.
Yeah.
And other things.
But like the 3D...
Better processing power than the...
3D's dumb.
The old 3DSs, but I don't know how it would... How the processing power and the upgrades they made in the new 3DS.
Oh, this one's got the C-Stick as well.
Compares to what they did in this new 2DS, since it's, you know, new. Anyway. Let's move on to our last somewhat quick point here in comics. Spawniversary! So, Andrew, Spawn.
I like Spawn.
Mm-hmm. The Todd McFarlane, guy who's president of Image Comics. That's the guy who wrote Spawn. This week, was its 25th anniversary? Silver anniversary, yeah, 25th anniversary. Yep. So that means there is, at least this week, there was a special director's cut edition of Spawn 1, which includes, I don't know what the size of it is, because it says it includes art books. I don't know if it's like a hardcover or like a trade. It's probably like a trade. It includes the original art boards of Spawn 1 and commentary from Todd McFarlane on each page and bonus art. So it's probably like a soft cover trade, I expect. But doesn't really go into detail here in this article. It'll have three cover variations by Todd McFarlane, obviously, Ashley Wood and Clayton Crane, who I do not know. But they probably work for Image. So it was set to release May 17th, but I did not this... I don't know when this article came out, because it wasn't out last week. Seems like it was probably out, like, days before.
It was the day before.
Yeah. Which is, if you ask me, a bad time to say, hey, we're releasing a special edition.
Yeah. What a press release.
And retail's $5.
I like $5.
Which, I mean, is, a buck? $2? And this is American, so it's $2 more expensive than a normal comic.
Yeah.
It's only a buck and maybe less than a Canadian price, cover price, but it's because Canadian cover prices are higher.
The Canadian dollar is real bad right now, guys.
That's true. I haven't bought a comic at regular price since the Canadian dollar's dropped and then dropped even more.
Do you remember a few years ago when we could just use the American cover price?
I mean, some places still do.
Yeah, I don't know how. They do it as a sale promotion, usually. But, yeah, that was a good time. When we had the issue of people charging for the Canadian price, but the Canadian dollar was so good that we could just get it from US and do that and get it cheaper than paying for the Canadian price. And then we had the issue of phasing out the Canadian price on cover, and then
that's
not, and now we have anymore. It back.
That's not a thing anymore. Yeah,
Canadian nerd life is hard.
Yeah, also because we don't get everything.
Yeah, we don't get everything. We're doing quite
certain things.
Get the shaft. We are not as bad as Australia.
No.
But
not half. Not half. Because yeah. Australia is really unfortunate. Trying to do anything in Australia. Because even the digital, because they have this price thing that you have to match the physical copies, which are very, like, of video games I'm speaking of. You have to match the physical copy prices. And which because is that's very hard. Expensive to get there for physical things. So even like their Steam version is still like $120 for a game.
Yep. And video game companies are confused why their games aren't selling as well these days.
Yeah. Especially there. So this is just a quick little thing that they released, Spawn 1 Director's cut, which is super cool. And also Spawn is 25 years old this week.
Yep.
So take that. Also, Image/Todd McFarlane. Dude, day before, not early enough to release a press release. Come on. Get with it. That's cool. I like Spawn. Spawn's fun.
I wonder if that movie holds up.
Probably not. Was it good when it released? Not really.
It was okay. Who played the clown?
I mean, it was good because it was Spawn, but I don't think it was really a good movie.
No.
I don't remember. I don't remember anything about that movie, to be honest with you. 1997. Hour and a half. Terminator comes back to life from hell. John Leguizamo.
John Leguizamo. Really? That's not who I expected.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love John Leguizamo. I didn't even.
Yeah, I didn't realize. That movie.
Martin Sheen.
It is kind of hard to tell under all that makeup.
Well, also, I'm pretty sure in '97 I did not know who John Leguizamo was. Ooh, Frank Welker plays the devil Malebogiev. I like Frank Welker. He's Megatron, and many other voice characters, but you know, Megatron.
It's got an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes.
34 Metascore? I don't even know what that means. I'm on IMDb. 5.2 on IMDb rating.
Metascore is that community driven one.
Sure. And you know what we could have talked about in games, Andrew, if we were really needy for news.
What?
Because I talked about Pokemon Adventure Week.
Oh,
rock yeah. types, more candy.
Yeah.
Bet you're jealous of people like me who have Pokeballs to spare.
I have Pokeballs now. I went to a place that had lots of them. Where was I?
I don't know. Hamilton. You were at Hamilton last week.
I was in Hamilton.
Must have been then.
Yeah.
Because like, you didn't go to Toronto recently, because anytime we go to Toronto, you just make bank on Pokeballs, man. Yeah. Downtown Toronto. Oh, Jesus. Geodude. Oh, Teddy Ursa. Slugmas.
I hate Slugma.
Anyway.
It's a stupid Pokemon.
So that is what we have for our news this week. We are on Twitter. I am at Dead75.
I'm at DUP3.
And you can find the show at Weekly News. Our website is weeklynews.com, where we have the show notes with the links to the trailers we talked about. You can determine yourself if you think the main character of Star Trek Discovery feels weird or not. Or if that Black Lightning trailer is awesome.
And dude, that suit.
And that suit is pretty sweet. And that Blade of the Immortal, as long as you don't mind dismemberment and blood and such. Jesus, there's three Slugmas here. And I don't know what else you can find on our website. You can leave comments on the bottom of this page. Or you can email us at feedback@weeklynews.com if that's how you want to get in touch with us. And tell us, I don't know, how awesome the Dark Crystal is and how it should be CGI instead of puppets, in which case you're wrong, but whatever.
Yeah, you are wrong. We will tell you as much. We will reply and shame you on air.
Or you could get in touch with us on Facebook at facebook.com/weeklynews. Or we have many ways you can get in touch with us. We have a Discord server.
We are so accessible.
Where you can come and play games with us.
Like Heroes.
Like Heroes. I like Heroes or Overwatch. I'll play some more Overwatch.
You got any Warhammer games? I have all of them. Please play with me.
Total War Warhammer. I'll let you murder me in that game because I'm not good at it. Although I'm not good at the battle, but I'm good at the rest of it. The turn-based part of Total War Warhammer, I'm good at. The actual real-time strategy part of Total War Warhammer, I'm bad at.
Yeah, if only we could co-op that way.
Exactly.
Where you manage all that stuff and I can just be a general.
That would be great. And we are on... So yes, join our Discord server, talk to us, voice chat or text chat. There's a widget on the website, or there is links on our Facebook and Twitter. And we are on iTunes. I was going to say at iTunes.com/quicknews. That is not right. I don't think that's how that works.
Nope. Just look for
just
Weekly News.
Search Weekly, but yeah. Weekly News would definitely get you there.
Weekly will get you there too, for sure.
And please leave a rating and a review because, you know, that's nice and we like it and we'll get better with, you know, you tell us what to improve.
In Soviet Russia, we rate you.
Yeah, I don't know why I did a weird accent there. Just like yesterday, I was just hanging out with Erica, and I just started talking in I don't know what the first accent was, and then it went British for a sentence, then I took a drink, and then it turned Irish after I took a drink of pop, not even alcohol. So it wasn't even me being racist. So, I don't know why I do accents. It's just a thing that happens.
Why not?
There's a chuckle, Andrew.
Chuckle's stupid.
Well, I bet you don't have it, though.
Yes,
anyway, that is all we have for this week. Thank you for putting up with our shit, and we'll see you next week.
Week.
Oh, that was weird.